I don't know about you, but if I contemplate the Holy Cross, I mean, not just the Holy Cross, but the crucifixion, the sacrifice, like we talked about the other day with the students, like the total giving of Christ, of God, to us. If you contemplate this deep mystery too long, you know, it just, I don't know about you, but it breaks me. It just, like, it makes my heart start shuddering and trembling. So, this morning, the priest beforehand, the children can tell you all about this. They studied the proscomedia on Friday. The priest takes all the names out of all the living and all the departed, and he's praying for them. And I'm thinking, while I'm thinking of these million of names, of all the struggles, all the crosses that everybody has gone through, like when you're praying for the departed, the struggle's over. But they still have a lot of crosses, you know, in their life. And even when we pray now, it's beautiful. We pray sort of retroactively. Just imagine, the prayer we do now for the departed drops a little bit of grace on their life as they were living it somehow. This is God's time. It's a fantastic, amazing reality. But also, of course, for those who are alive right now, in the heat of the battle, with the cross that's going on right now. And it just becomes so, when I was taking the names out, I told the deacon, I said, man, I could stand here all day and do this, because that's how much weight many of us are carrying. And, by the way, we'll carry it to the end of this life. Not a bad thing. It's not a bad thing. In fact, let me tell you something. I don't want to get it wrong. Let me tell you something that Father Hopko says. I'm going to do a little bit from his teaching on the cross. But he says, first and foremost, the cross of Christ, says everything about everything. Isn't that beautiful? The cross says everything about everything. Life and death, and the deepest mysteries, everything is learned at the cross. And he gives this beautiful image. And it's the image, well, it's the same image as the Mother of God and the myrrh bearers and John who are standing at the cross. What do you say? What do you say at the foot of Christ's cross? You know, he's hanging there, sacrificing himself for the life of the world. What does anybody say? There's no sound. This is the sound of mystical silence. That's where we find our Christianity. Yeah. That's where we have to become Christians, right there at the foot of the cross. I'm afraid we don't do that all the time, every moment of every day. And that's what makes us fall. That's what makes us stumble when we take the cross, you know, out of the equation. And then we want some kind of Christianity which is not so cross-filled, not so strenuous, not so much struggle. Can I have like a few days off, Lord, from the cross? It's a ridiculous question, you know? When we go back to the cross, and not just the morbidity of dying on the cross. When we go back to the cross with all of its life-giving properties, with all of its divine, you know, power, you have everything you need. The cross says everything about everything. Continue his teaching a little bit. He says, in the cross, we have the central fact of our Christian witness, which is this. Death proves what we really believe. What we really care about. Death is the great witness to the victory of God in Christ on the cross. So this is why we venerate this Holy Cross today. You see, when you come forward again today and you kiss the wood of the cross, you're not kissing so much wood. You know, you're venerating the central idea of your life, the central reality, the central experience of your life. That's why we venerate this cross, because through death to life, to victory over death. It's a beautiful teaching. This deeply involves us, you know, you and me, because we are made in the image and likeness of God, right? So since the cross is the central act of God, it is crucial, it is central to who we are. Don't ever believe anybody who's trying to teach you some kind of a Christianity without the cross and without you suffering. And we'll get to that. That's the gospel. What does the cross mean in my life? We are called to be crucified. We are called to die to Christ. That's what a baptism is, for instance. That's what a confession is. That's what some kind of life together is. We are supposed to be crucified for each other, one for the other, one for the other. And when you see it happening in little ways, it's a beautiful thing. Even in the community, it's a beautiful thing. But what if it's not happening? What if you're not doing it? Right? If you're not doing it, can I say something very strong here as the pastor? Every once in a while we have to say something like this. You're not a Christian. You're not living the Orthodox Christian life. You're living some other life and just happen to drop into the church. If you're not dying to the other person, being crucified, pouring yourself out for the other person, that's not easy. That's not easy. We have to put aside, you know, all the rest. Do you think that Christ loved the idea of going up on that cross? That this was like the reason that, you know, like the best thing possible for him? No! He says it in Gethsemane. He said, Father, if it be your will, even at the last, he said, if it be your will, it's not a good thing. It's not a blessed thing to die, to be murdered, to be tortured, to be, you know, like ridiculed, to be spit upon, to be. You know, to have this kind of a filthy, slave-like ending to his life. So if it be your will, of course he said that to show you, like, even in the midst of your suffering, in the midst of your human pain and fear, let's say, even, because some of us have a little bit of fear about what it's going to be like to leave this life. He says, no, not my will, not that. But thy will be done. In other words, this human will, this fallen human will, you know, gets swallowed up in the perfect divine will. And Christ showed us, you know, that it's not good to die. It's not good to suffer. It's not good any of that. But it's essential. It's essential to give your life back for Christ, right? But how we do it is the key. We can do it like embracing the cross, or we can do it like trying to run away from the cross and deny it and like trying to avoid it at all costs. And this is how we live. Sometimes we're here, sometimes we're here. And it's so beautiful when we're embracing the cross, when we take it unto ourselves. And like, even in all the little things, like somebody, let's say, somebody in your life bugs you. Is there anybody like that in your life? They bug you. They're talking all the time, or they're saying like wrong things all the time, or they're just doing stuff to you all the time, right? Guess what? That's your cross. That's your little mini cross right there. And you know what? If you study and experience the lives of the saints, they take that and they embrace it. They say, thank you, God. I get it. That's for me. That's for me. So, you know, when that happens to you next time, it'll probably happen to you today or tomorrow sometime. When something like that happens, before you react, you see, like before you throw the cross like away, just, that's it. That's my cross. That's my children. That's my husband. That's my wife. That's my parents. That's my brothers and sisters, even in the church, you know, whatever. That's for me. You know what? If you do that, something divine will come to you. Something miraculous will happen at that time. First of all, your heart will get transformed somehow. It will become different. First of all, towards that person, you get like a lightness, you know, like a joy that you can remember the cross and remember Christ in all of this, that He is allowing this to happen so that I can be healed of something. So instead of reacting out of my sinfulness, I somehow go to the place of the cross and I can somehow find Christ in that experience, and it gives me grace. That's what invites new power, new energy, new love even. And isn't it amazing? I see, like you read the life of St. Ephemia today, the great martyr, another incredible story. So, how did they get that power? To love the other one. To love the one who's killing them. To convert them, you know, to have so much shining out of them that people who are, at one second, they're the murderer, they're the executioner. The next second, they're the executed with the saint. They say, oh, take me too. This is beautiful. What? This is superhuman. This is not normal in terms of the fallen world. It's a little bit crazy if people see us wanting to do that. But you see, the world also expects us to react, to fight. Do you see how divided society is today? Divided on every subject, on every situation. Divided, division, fighting, reacting, protecting my rights, you know, making my case, stating my opinion, all of that. None of that is embracing the cross. None of that is taking this instrument of torture, which became weapon of peace and salvation of the world. None of us takes that into our heart and says, no, I refuse to enter into the noise. I refuse to add my voice to the chorus of evil, you know. I take the cross, and most of the time, sometimes you have to say something. Most of the time you take it and you're quiet. That's it. And you let things happen. And you pray. And you say, thank you, God, for allowing me to see this and not to jump in and become just part of the problem. You see? Take this Holy Cross seriously. Because if you do that, you know what? Already you're resurrected. Already you're glorified with God. Already you're alive. So I guess what I'm saying here is, most people who don't do that are dead. We walk around, sometimes it's us. I've seen some of you walking around dead. You know, and me too, walking around like a dead man, thinking about my own self, my own passion, my own desires, my own love of, you know, what did we hear from St. Dorotheus last night? We read in St. Dorotheus. Three things that cause sin come out of the ego. Love of pleasure, love of money, love of glory. What most people, including us, fall into a lot, many times. So, catch ourselves for the sake of the cross, for the sake of Christ, and we say, not interested in money, not interested in glory, not interested in pleasure, interested in suffering, yes, in suffering, all deprivation of those things. By the way, you don't need any of those things to thrive. For the sake of Christ, His glory, His, I won't say the word pleasure, His joy, His, you know, like fulfillment in the kingdom of heaven. It beats any pleasure in this life. And to hold that, right? You will be the weirdest person on the face of the earth because nobody else is doing it. Except maybe the people in this room, in this area, are trying, are thinking about it. There are others. We know people out there who are struggling anonymously. They don't even know what I'm saying about the cross and about Christ. But they're doing this somehow. And you're attracted to them. Because that divine grace comes even through them. Even if they don't know about the cross. So listen to what Father Thomas says about this. Without the cross, no joy, no peace, no love, no life, no nothing. Only darkness, only death. That's why Satan tried so hard, you see, to tempt Christ not to take the cross. Right? The hymn says, we just sang it, through the cross, joy. The next word, through the cross, joy has come into all the world. Cross, joy. Cross, joy. Through the cross, joy has come into all the world. We sing that on Pascha. We sing that every Sunday at the resurrection, right? What does it mean for us, you know, in our life? Simply put, it means to love. The cross today, especially on this feast, reveals to us that God is love, and who God is, and what love really is. Not just cheap talk, not just saying it. I remember I had a seminary professor, you know, what's the group that knocks on your door? They knock on your door, and the Jehovah's Witnesses. And he said they came to his door one time. True story. And he was wearing, I don't know why he was wearing his cassock with his cross. Maybe he was going somewhere. He opens the door, and can you imagine they saw this priest like the cross? And then they started attacking the cross. They started saying, you know, why do you wear that thing around your neck? You know, like, if then, listen to the question they asked him. If your mother was shot, like somebody's robbing the house, and your mother was shot, would you wear a gun around your neck? What a goofy question. And he, without a beat, said, if she was the redeemer of the world, and God, yes, I would. I would wear a truck if she got hit by it. It doesn't matter. But he chose this instrument. He allowed himself to be draped over the arms of this all-embracing piece of wood so that he could show you how much he loves you, you know, like that. And so we honor that. We honor his choice, and we honor the power that he allowed into the Holy Cross. So real love is revealed here on the cross. We have to die on that cross too, my dears. He died on the cross. Now, doesn't that have implications for how we live? And those implications have to do with today's gospel. You take up your own cross, like I was talking about. I was thinking about that during the First Communion, how we have to take up our own cross. And don't give up. Not to give up. And guess what happens? Look, if you have big trials, and you're taking on your cross, and you're overcoming them, guess what power can come to you? There's a story of a spiritual father, and I was always amazed at this, because it always seemed like impossible to me. A spiritual father who, there was one of his spiritual children who was suffering with a big problem, a big passion, and they couldn't get rid of it, And because of his deep and abiding sacrificial crucified like love for her, he said to the Lord, now, don't do this at home. Don't do this, you know. Certainly don't do it without a lot of prayer and blessing. He said, I'll take that passion to myself. Can you imagine? I won't tell you what the passion is, but just imagine any deep passion like that they, for years and decades, are struggling with it. He felt such sorrow, he was weeping, you know, tears for them. He said, it's about time. As if I don't have it, as if he didn't have enough, this elder. He says, I'll take that one on. Lord, if it's your will, please give that. And you know what? That demon jumped from her to him. And he suffered with that passion, that, you know, temptation. He didn't get the power. The temptation, the constant, like, for the rest of his life. And he never fell. He literally took it off of her. And she changed, like, her life became so fruitful, so beautiful. With that, she just kept stumbling with that thing. Now, what does that mean? To take on someone else's cross sometimes. We know how to do it in little ways. Like, somebody needs some money, you give them some money. Somebody needs a place to live, you pull them into your house. Somebody needs food, you know, like we eat together. These are physical crosses, but what does it mean to take on someone's spiritual cross like that? It's the most Christ-like you could ever get, you know? So this, I'm not expecting us to all do that, you know, it's like a miracle to do that. But we could at least lighten each other's burdens, you know? Instead of piling on spiritually. The least we can do, never harm each other. Never. And always build each other up. Never think one evil thought. Never put one little bit of negative energy towards another person. Right? This is incredible. This is a cross. Because the enemy loves us to tear each other down. Why? So that I can feel better about myself. So I can have the self-esteem. So I have to knock everybody around. You put a block to that. You take the cross and say, no, God knows who I am. God knows my place. God knows my heart. That's enough. That's enough. So, like my Irish grandmother used to say, she said, if you can, you know, add something to a stranger who's passing by or a loved one, like a brother or sister, at least don't tear their bag. If they can't help, you know, at least don't tear their bag. Do I dare say that? Are we at that such a low level that that's our cross? Do not hurt each other? Well, maybe if you're there, stop doing it. But even better, you know, to add to each other. To give to each other. Physical, any kind of needs, you know, that people have. But also spiritual, too. What does it mean? How about a smile sometime? A little smile. We're so grumpy many times, you know? Why? We're thinking so much about, like, I have to do this, and I have to do that, and why did this happen to me? Get out of that thinking cross, right? And in the middle of all of that, the least I can do is smile. Like, look at that beautiful smile. A little smile. And some joy. And say, you know, my dear, I haven't told you, like, how much you mean to me. How appreciative I am of you in my life. Right? Maybe you never talked to the person for 10 years. If you say that one time, you know, you're in heaven. Everybody's in heaven for a moment. How hard is it to do that? To say that, right? And to look at each other, and to speak to each other, and to care for each other. It's the community life. It's expected. It's not even extraordinary. To take up the cross means little things like that. And to say at the end of it, you know, I don't do any of it, you know, for praises or for accolades or even for crowns, ultimately, in the kingdom of heaven. I do it because Christ did it. And Christ continues to do it for me. If he could die on the cross, if he could pour his blood out for me that I'm about to take again today, thank God, then I could pour out something for him. I could pour out something for everybody in my life, right? If you approach, like, let's experiment today. By the way, I didn't say the sermon I was going to say, so listen. But if you approach, like, when you go into the church hall, now watch this. If you go into the church hall and you approach people like this, not just with, like, frivolity and some kind of a selfish motive, but if you approach each other with this kind of dignity, this kind of Christian love, like, not just how are you, like, really, my dear, how's your life? How's your spiritual life? How's your heart? I think we just kind of, many times, we just talk. We're not looking at each other. We're not, like, looking into each other's souls and saying, how's your heart? What's going on in your heart today? You know, there are people sitting right here in the church. If somebody asked them that question, like, it would make their year. It would make their year. Because they never connect. Ever. They have a big cross. You can lighten their cross. That's my point. You could just say the one thing, or just look at them, take their hand, and say, you're the best. I love you. Enough. There's so much more to teach on this, but you get the idea. The cross says everything about everything. You just give me any topic, any virtue, any sin, you know, any theology, any teaching of the church, whatever, all boils down again to God becoming man and getting ready to sacrifice himself for us and doing it. And then just living like that for the sake of the love of him and the love of each other. There's the Orthodox teaching in like 1 minute. Right? So now it's up to you and me to practice it today. Start out there in the church hall. I'm going to peek out and see what everybody's doing. Just do not forget yourself in the food. Do not forget yourself, you know, in the, like, what are we going to do next? Are we going to have a game? Are we going to, you know, do not forget this liturgy today. Do not forget the sacrifice that's happening right here on the altar and the spilled blood and broken body of Christ. Christ that I'm partaking of today. To not forget that that's like consuming me. It's in me now. And I'm living this way. Don't forget that. Let it go into your head. Let it sink into this thick skull of mine so that I can live according to that. Your life will never be the same if you live like that and string a few days like that together and a few weeks and then on and on, right? We'll be like walking this far off the ground with each other. And when we do something, and it's not like when somebody else does something and we notice it, like 50 eyes go to that, something wrong. When we do something that is not according to the cross, and not according to that selfless kind of love, we'll notice it first about ourselves. And we'll have, you know, our eyes go down, a little bit of shame. It's good. It's good that the conscience is like so alive then. Can you imagine we have like 100 people and we have 100 living and like strong consciences? Nobody will ever have to look at anything anybody else ever does again. They shouldn't. But we won't even be tempting them to do it anymore. Why? Because we've done this. We've taken on the cross and said, no, I'm going to die to all of that stuff. And when I fall, Lord, I'll get up the next second. This is your life. The central teaching, the central reality of your Christian life. Amen.